When I wake up in the morning, CBS gives out a warning about a Giants banged up offensive line. Injury to Brandon Cooks, and before I even look, my opponent grabbed his backup off the waiver wire. It's alright, I've got Le'Veon Bell.
Recapping a 10-team standard scoring draft and looking at tight end tiers. Action-packed show. Also, Kenneth Dixon is out for the year, and you're never going to believe how far Ezekiel Elliott fell in yesterday's draft. Welcome, everybody. This is Fantasy Football Today. I know Dave's excited because he tweeted earlier about all the teams that started training camp today. Bears, Bills, Broncos, Browns, Dolphins, Eagles, Falcons, Jags, Packers, Pats, Ravens, Redskins, Saints, and Vikings. And Dave, he even put them in alphabetical order. Good for you.
That was the order that I wrote them down in.
That's impressive. You wrote them down in alphabetical
order. I know my alphabet. Quiz me.
Okay, what comes
start
directly?
With G and end with V.
Start with G and V?
End with V.
A word?
No, that's a very typical alphabet test.
Oh,
you start with the letter G and end with the letter V.
Oh, G H I J K L M N O P Q R S T U V W.
No.
Crap!
All right, you lose. So anyway, be a winner and start your fantasy football league right by booking your draft party at B-Dubs. You'll get a free draft kit and enjoy a draft feast of boneless wings, three sides, and three shareables at a special price. Only at Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, at participating locations while supplies last. Very sorry we did not podcast yesterday, but we're back today. You've already heard from Dave and Heath. Jamie Eisenberg's in the house. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, buddy.
I am Adam Azer, and we are ready to roll here. So, yeah, I don't know how much time we should spend on tight end tiers just because we'll be doing our tight end preview in, I don't know, about 2 weeks or so. But we'll certainly talk about it. What I think is so interesting is that Dave has Kelsey, Reed, Graham, and Olsen all in the same tier. I thought maybe there would be a little separation there, but let's start with the big news and Kenneth Dixon, who's out for the season with a torn meniscus. He sprained his MCL twice last year before the season began, so now he's got some knee issue history. But obviously Terrence West gets a boost. Terrence West or LeGarrette Blount?
West.
Yeah.
There's a caveat, though, Adam.
All right.
The Ravens have a month to add another running back.
Make a call to San Francisco.
How would that call go?
Hey, we'll give you a fourth round pick for Carlos Hyde.
We want a third round pick for Carlos Hyde.
Okay, we'll wait till you cut him in 2 weeks.
We'll take a fourth round pick.
Is a fourth round pick too much?
Too much?
He's in a contract year. You're basically running him for 1 year.
Good point. Well, let's say that the Ravens add Bobby Rainey, which has been reported that they might. You know, they're looking at that. And Terrence West.
They did already. They did.
Oh, they did? Okay. So, see? I know what I'm talking about. And Terrence West goes into the year as the number one running back for the Ravens. Would he be a top 24 running back?
I have him 27th.
I think he's got the potential to finish there, though.
Yeah, the offensive line is not as good as it was a year ago.
It's not, that's for sure.
And they did not have Danny Woodhead last year.
No, but they did have Dixon and Juszczyk and all the other guys that helped make up that backfield, and it limited West's carries. Look, he's not a great running back. He needs a lot of work, but if they don't add anybody else, he's going to get a lot of work.
Yeah, he's not going to be that high for me. Number three guy for me.
He's a number three guy. I said he has the potential to finish as a number two guy.
I think he finished 24th last year.
He was 25th, according to what I was looking at yesterday. 23rd in PPR.
Yeah, I don't know what he was on a per-game basis or anything like that. This is Terrence West we're talking about, who averaged four yards per carry last year, which was a career high from him. And right. He also had, what was the stat? He had like six games with double-digit carries and five or fewer fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. So a bunch of duds. They brought in Greg Roman to help with their running game. And he's not their offensive coordinator, but he's got a track record there. I know this is somebody that Jason Lockenfora kind of liked, Terrence West, to have a nice year. But, all right, we'll see. This is good draft value. Where did he go? I can tell you right now, in the 10-team
round
draft.
Nine.
The last pick of round nine. So,
yeah, that he threw in my strategy.
Oh, you took both West and Dixon. That's when you thought Dixon was out 6 to 8 weeks, not the entire season.
This was before I thought that Kenneth. Yes, I did not draft Kenneth Dixon in the 10th round thinking that he was going to miss the year.
So what about Woodhead? Does this affect him at all?
No. In fact, I went and I looked at the splits between what Woodhead did in San Diego and what West did last year. Almost 100% of Terrence West's carries came on first down, second down, and short yardage situations. And Danny Woodhead, in his last big year with San Diego, or it was then San Diego, 2015, most of his work came. He got work on first and second down, too, but lots of third down work, lots of second and long, lots of first and 15s. He's going to be the passing downs guy. It fits like a glove right now with West doing the early downs work. He'll get the goal line. Woodhead picks up passing downs in the two-minute drill.
Danny Woodhead's been a very good guy inside the five, inside the 10.
Yeah, that's very true. The reason I think it does help Woodhead is because it fits like a glove now. It didn't fit like a glove once Kenneth Dixon came back, and I was concerned that Dixon would take work away from both West and Woodhead. So I feel more secure about what's going to happen in Baltimore until they trade for Carlos Hyde.
Or sign D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah, but would that really change anything? Williams is on his last
legs.
It
would.
It wouldn't change anything for Woodhead. It would change for West.
For West.
All right. Well, they're going to sign somebody, certainly. I mean, they already signed Rainey.
I would change things for Woodhead.
I just want to give this stat here about Woodhead. It's not really a stat that I fully buy into. End-of-season numbers can be a little misleading. You know, the week-to-week consistency is always different. But it's still cool. So the last two times Woodhead played 16 games was 2013 and 2015, not 14 or 16. And the last two times he played 16 games, he finished as the number 16 running back in standard and the number 11 running back in standard and the number 11 running back in PPR and the number 3 running back in PPR. Of course, when he finished third, that was 2015, worst year ever for running backs. But bottom line, he's been top 16 in standard, top 11 in PPR each of the last two times that Woodhead has played 16 games. So, boy, to tease the draft we're going to talk about later, Ezekiel Elliott just keeps on falling in these drafts all the way to fourth. He plummeted after Odell Beckham Jr. Was that too late for Ezekiel Elliott, fourth overall in a standard scoring league?
Well, I talked to Nick Costas, who made the pick, about this, and he brought up something which I think until we get word is going to creep into the head of some fantasy owners that are deciding on Ezekiel Elliott. So if we don't know anything about a suspension and you draft now, meaning, you know, sometime before the suspension news happens, if it does happen, are you willing to take the risk that it's more than two games? Because I've seen some other fantasy analysts comment that could be five games, six games, eight games, and you know how to prepare for that. So it's just something I think that if you're picking, I don't think you're taking him one at this point, but if you're picking three and he's still there, or four or five, depending on the format, do you still buy into taking him like you were before all this stuff started happening?
So Dave, you took him fourth. Mick picked Beckham over Elliott third. Dave, you took him fourth.
I did. I think if he's suspended, it'll only be for a couple of games. I can't remember the last time a player was suspended for domestic violence for either one or two games or half the season or longer. And I don't know if this is considered so horrible of an act that, and we're getting into a real gray area that I just don't want to get into.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is so bad that he's going to miss half the season. I don't know how much Jerry Jones is working behind the scenes to try and lessen the suspension. There's a chance, let's put it out there, there's a chance he's not suspended at all.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And so I'm working on the assumption that he will miss no more than two games, and I'm willing to wait those first 2 weeks for Ezekiel Elliott to come back. I would have taken him third if I had picked third.
Now, the interesting thing, though, is, and I would encourage anybody to take Elliott, you did not do this, but you did not get Darren McFadden.
I think he went before I was going to take him.
Yeah, but you waited till round 12, which is where he went. So
I was going to take him in round 12.
That's the thing. I think you waited too long. If you're going to make the investment, Elliott, at this point, McFadden is the number one handcuff, just given what we know. Eventually, James Conner will be that guy. But right now, the number one handcuff, given the circumstances, it goes without question, is McFadden.
So McFadden, yeah, he went in round 12. Now, when we say round 12 today, we're probably going to be talking about our 10-team draft, not 12 teams, which we usually refer to.
Can I make the case against getting McFadden?
Yeah.
Dallas plays the Giants week one and at Denver in week two. Real tough. tough run defense.
Denver had a real bad run defense last year. Probably
they had some
will
injuries.
Be better.
I think
yeah.
That's part of the reason.
I don't really know that you need McFadden if it's two games. I think the reason you have to take McFadden is if it's 4, 5, 6 games.
Sure. But it's also two,
I just think you need more running
backs. It's two games guaranteed, and if he gets hurt at all, right. Or as we saw last year, he sat week 17. What if they send him week 16 and 17, and you're in your championship game? Why would you not take that secure situation? If it's not the best offensive line, it's a top three offensive line. You're taking a flyer on somebody in that spot anyway.
Yeah.
Lock up the backfield.
Yeah.
I would still just rather take one of the three receivers at this point until we know something.
Okay.
Over so you're going Ezekiel. running back.
Three receivers,
and then Ezekiel. Elliott?
Yeah.
And that's any format, right?
That's standard. I'd put Green and Evans ahead of him in PPR.
Mm. Oh, so he's 8.
Yep.
Wow.
All right, cool. By the way, we're going to have a live show on CBSSports.com tomorrow. I don't know all the details, but you guys do. So there'll be a lot of draft talk, a lot of fantasy talk live. Why don't you guys tell me what's going to happen tomorrow on CBSSports.com?
It's going to be noon Eastern, an hour live draft special. We're going to go through our consensus rankings, quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, tight ends, and start to get everybody in that football frame of mind. It'll be the first of several preview shows that we do on CBS Sports.
Excellent. And because of that, we will be recording the Fantasy Football Today podcast tomorrow, a little earlier than we usually do, so be excited about that. Here's our email of the day, and then after this, we'll get into the tight end tiers. It's from Adam in Viroqua, Wisconsin? Viroqua? Viroqua?
I think it's Viroqua.
All right. Dear newlywed Jamie, Dave, and Heath, last year I started Brady and Blunt and got nearly every Patriots touchdown. Is Brady and a couple of New England running backs a viable strategy this year?
That is actually my team in the Scott Fishbowl. I ended up with Brady, Gillislee, and Deion Lewis. So, yeah, it's a viable strategy if you get guys at the right place.
Hmm. What are the odds? I'm not saying you're not going to get every New England touchdown.
No, I'm not going to get everyone. I will miss
are.
A couple.
You're right, because like James White, if he runs for one... if a random fullback steals one. But you're going to get a lot of them. Are they going to score as many as they did last year?
They might score more.
I mean, they're pretty good every year.
If you think that, then you should definitely
have Brady. So, yes, they'll score more.
Yeah, it's actually, I never thought about pairing Brady and Gillislee, but that would be like rounds 3 and 4. Or, yeah, maybe 4 and early 5.
It's a kind of a variation on the friendship strategy. I like to call it the cousins strategy.
Yeah, I like this. Not a bad idea.
Call it the Belichick strategy.
Okay, you could do that too. All right, so let's talk a little bit about tight ends and the tiers. And here's a little stat for you. Travis Kelce in 4 games without Jeremy Maclin. 3 catches, 31 yards in the first game, and then 3 straight games with 101 or more yards. So he was a beast. That began a stretch of 5 100-yard games in 6 weeks. Of course, no Jeremy Maclin this year. That's about Travis Kelce. But tight end tier number 1, I think everybody agrees, is Rob Gronkowski. It is the Gronk tier. He is by himself. He is round 2, and I think he was the 20th overall pick in yesterday's draft, the last pick of round 2. So that's fine. That's Gronk. Then, Dave, okay, this is what I thought was interesting. The very good tier is Travis Kelce, Jordan Reed, Jimmy Graham, and Greg Olsen. Travis Kelce, Jordan Reed, Jimmy Graham, and Greg Olsen. You know, I felt like Kelce and Reed would have their own little tier, and then Graham and Olsen would have their own little tier. Why did you put all 4 of them in the same group?
Because I think all 4 of them are going to go within 20 picks of each other.
But
and
do
it's
going to
be
they
in
should?
That order.
Should they?
I would do it in that order. A lot of people might take Olsen ahead of Graham.
Yeah. But I guess, like, in terms of impact they're going to have on your fantasy team, Do you group them in the same tier? Not forget about where they're going to get drafted, but do you think that these 4, Kelce, Reed, Graham, and Olsen, really are in the same tier?
I think they all have a chance at getting over 1,000 yards, even Jimmy Graham. I think Reed is probably the leader when it comes to touchdowns. He might be the most likely to score 8+ touchdowns, but he also, I think, is the biggest injury risk of the group.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hey, quick Jimmy Graham question. He scored 6 touchdowns last year. How many of them came at home?
6.
6.
Heath?
6.
Correct. You're all winners today.
What do we win?
You get another try at the alphabet game.
Let's do it.
Heath, put him on the clock. Go.
Start with D, end with O.
D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O.
Yeah, I did it.
Oh, yeah. All right. So do you guys want to talk about the very good tier? Kelsey, Reed, Graham, Olsen?
I agree with you, Adam. I think Kelsey should probably be in a tier of his own.
When are you drafting Kelsey? Is it round 3 or 4?
It's moved up throughout the summer, but end of round 3, I feel really good about it. I'm seeing him going mid round 3 more and more. The reason I would put Kelsey separate him from these guys is I feel like the upside's pretty similar, but he's a lot safer than Jordan Reed is. And then I have Olsen ahead of Reed. It's just Mr. Reliable.
Yeah. Yeah. How about this consistency from Greg Olsen? In the last 3 seasons, he's had between 122 and 127 targets, right around 80 catches, about 1,000 to 1,100 yards, 6 or 7 touchdowns, except somehow last year, I mean, Cam had a bad year, but Olsen only caught 3 touchdowns, but he usually catches about 6. He is very reliable for about 80, 1,050 yards and 6 touchdowns. But he
Does he stay there with McCaffrey and Samuel coming to town and a new kind of philosophy on offense?
Mm-hmm. In his 11th season, too. Jamie, what do you think?
I just think at some point there starts to be a little bit of a downturn. He feels like what happened to Jason Witten is going to start to happen to Greg Olsen. They just career path type of thing. I mean, Olsen's been better, but you know, Jason Witten started to get slow, and then Olsen's starting to get to that point age-wise. But he's still, I mean, there's no denying he's good. He's top 5. I just think when you look at it, I think he's more in the conversation with Graham than with Reed, because what we've seen from Reed when healthy, he could challenge Gronk.
Reed, yeah, Jordan Reed. Actually, let's put a couple things in perspective here.
And the other thing real quick on Reed is the lack of players who are there. I mean, you know, we could sit here and say how much we like Pryor and we like Crowder. Jay Gruden told me that the offense runs through Jordan Reed.
Right. Reed has played 9, 11, 14, and 12 games in his 4 seasons. We know the injury risk. He's going into his 5th year. If you look at the 16-game pace for Jordan Reed and Travis Kelce last year, give Reed 16 games, Kelce would have outscored him by 3 points in both standard and PPR. So they were basically the same. But you go back to 2015, man, Jordan Reed was incredible. 952 yards and 11 touchdowns in only 14 games. So, Heath, you put Kelsey in the tier above Reed because you say he's safer. If they both played 16 games, just want to know who you think would score more. I know that it's unlikely that Reed does, but who do you think would be more productive, Kelsey or Reed?
I think it's about a push.
Really?
I just think the odds of Reed playing 16 games when he's not done so once in 4 years is really low.
Okay. All right, so that tier is Kelsey, Reed, Graham, and Olsen. The good tier is after this. It's only 2 people. It's Tyler Eifert and Kyle Rudolph. Tyler Eifert and Kyle Rudolph, guys, in the good tier as the 6th and 7th tight ends for Dave.
And this is for me. This isn't for everybody, but I think I'm willing to roll the dice on Eifert this year because I think that the fact that he's healthy coming into training camp is a good thing. I think the Cincinnati offense is going to pop, and I think Eifert can go back to being dominant. 18 touchdowns in his last 21 games. You got to hope he stays healthy. It's the risk with him. And Rudolph broke out last year. That's an offense that will continue to lean on the tight end. I see him continuing to have some good numbers. Little risky round 6. I'm thinking late round 6 on these guys. If you find them past round 6, I think it's going to be even better for your fantasy team.
Yeah, I'll get the average draft position up so we can actually get
right. There's no chance they're going. Eifert might be, but I don't think there's any chance Rudolph is. He's actually falling to a point where he's a great value in drafts.
Yeah, he's a huge value. I would put Ertz in that same group, but yeah, Rudolph's ADP, I think, might be 8th or 9th round.
Rudolph is going 88th overall as the 9th tight end.
So that's early 8th?
Yep.
Do you put Zach Ertz in a different tier? Standard versus PPR?
If this is where I'm getting Zach Ertz based on average draft position, I'll take it all day long.
Where is
119.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's round 10.
I kind of want to avoid having an ADP discussion. I'll just be 100% honest with everybody. I'm doing what I can to make sure that this show isn't too much like our tight end preview. And I know what we're going to do. We're going to look at ADP for our tight end preview. That's why I didn't bring up ADP, but that's fine. I mean, that's actually pretty interesting to know. 120th overall or so for Zach Ertz. That's crazy.
The reason I said I'd put Ertz in this tier is that's the end of the guys where I really feel like I know what's going to happen with them. after that, there's a lot of upside. I'm just not really certain what's going to happen with him.
So the next tier for Dave is high upside, round 7 and 8, Zach Ertz and Hunter Henry. Zach Ertz and Hunter Henry. All right, so you think Ertz is more of a certainty than Hunter Henry, Heath?
Yeah, just because he doesn't have Antonio Gates in front of him. Not in front of him, but
lining up.
I don't even
with
know what
him.
You'd say.
On the field with him.
On the field, standing in front of him, not letting him run, grabbing the ball away from him as Phillip Rivers throws it through the air.
I'll tell you what I'm worried about with both of these guys, and that's too many mouths to feed in both of their offenses. And I think Ertz last year benefited from everybody else in Philadelphia stinking, and Wentz knew that he could go to him, and he knows he can go to him again, and Ertz is going to have some great games. But Alshon's there now. Say what you will about Torrey Smith. He's going to play. There's talk about the running backs catching a ton of passes. I'm not sure Ertz is going to match the targets he had last year.
It's also finally single coverage for him, though, where he doesn't have to deal with, you know, a guy, linebacker, and a safety over top.
That's true.
I think tight ends are so much about touchdowns. They don't get that many yards.
Yep. That's another reason why I think Eifert and
But then
Rudolph
if that's the case, why do we like Kelsey?
Because he does get the yards.
With the yardage.
Yeah, I think.
But that's what you're hoping for. I think Ertz is a poor man's Kelsey.
Yep. I agree.
And so we saw 2 years ago it was a 4-game stretch at the end of the season. Last year it was basically a 9-game stretch. And the hope would be, as we saw with Wentz, healthy offensive line. His numbers were good. Better players around them altogether, which you could say will take away, like Dave's alluding to, take away from what Ertz can potentially do. But I just think that there's going to be more opportunities for him. And you're talking about the hopefully maturation process of Wentz going into a second year that maybe is a little bit better in the red zone. So there's downside with these guys. I mean, clearly there's the top five guys, and then it's a mixed bag. It's Eifert with the injuries. It's, you know, Rudolph being consistent. It's Ertz doing it year after year for 16 games. But I'll take my chance. I understand it. It's about the touchdowns, but I'll also take my chances with targets, and he's going to be a heavily targeted tight end. In the same conversation like Rudolph, I think he has a chance to be top five in targets.
If we could take a broader look here. Gronk round 2, Kelsey, Reed, Graham, Olsen, late round 3 to round 5, Kelsey, Reed, Graham, Olsen, then the good tier of Eifert and Rudolph, then the Ertz, Hunter, Henry tier. You know, if this were the order they were going in, which is the tier that you guys feel most comfortable with? And I'll kind of frame it like we did with the running backs. Remember we got to the C.J. Anderson, Amir Abdullah, Paul Perkins, you know, that big tier with a bunch of starting running backs that have upside, and we kind of said, oh, we really like this tier. Is there one so far that stands out to you as this is where I'm going to be looking at tight ends, or should we go a little bit deeper?
I really like the end of the second tier, whoever happens to fall there, and it's usually Olsen. Sometimes it's Graham.
Dave, Jamie? Damie?
I like the next tier after that. Just because I prefer to wait for Ertz, Henry, or Doyle. Those are the three guys that I'm going to draft a lot of.
In a league with 12 teams or deeper, I'm looking for a value at tight end. In 10 teams or fewer, I'm looking for one of those top five guys.
That's kind of interesting because in a 12-team league, I do wonder if there are 12 tight ends that I'd be happy starting. I feel like I had gotten to the point where there were 10 or 11, and I'm not even sure that Ertz is one of them in a standard scoring league. He definitely isn't PPR. But in a 12-team league, I don't know that I want to be the last guy to take a tight end. I feel like I want to be like third to last. Hunter Henry is usually the guy I ended up targeting.
I can find 12. That I like in a 12-team league.
Well, yeah, I'm okay being the last guy just because there's one guy we haven't talked about yet that's probably going to go 13th or 14th.
Right, so far, right, we have 9. So, all right, then let's go to the next tier. Start worthy. This would be 12. This would be 10, 11, and 12. Delanie Walker, Martellus Bennett, and Jack Doyle. Delanie Walker, Martellus Bennett, and Jack Doyle. So did we just say one of them, Heath, the guy that you look for?
You did not.
Who then?
Well, Eric Ebron.
Okay.
And we could talk about him later. I'm worried about Walker.
Me too.
A lot. Because his targets dropped
dramatically
last year. Mm-hmm. And then they add Eric Decker and Corey Davis. I don't think there's any way he gets 100 targets.
Huh?
I don't think there's any way he gets 100 targets this year.
No. And what saved him last year was the touch. He actually improved by one. His touchdowns went up, but catches dropped, yards dropped, and more mouths to feed. So he was amazing when there was nobody there. And just the addition of Rashard Matthews and Tajay Sharp, you saw a decline in production. And I think it's just going to continue to get worse. So I'm almost at the point. You have Ebron ahead of Walker, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm almost at the point with you. If Ebron shows what he's capable of doing, which he hasn't shown yet, but hopefully no Anquan Boldin there and those red zone touchdowns are available, whether it's Kenny Golladay or not, but he's got the chance. This is his chance. Contract year, fourth year in the league, step up and do something. And if he does, he's going to be one of the best breakout tight ends in fantasy.
Which is why he's worth drafting if you just find yourself. I don't know if there's a strategy to build around Eric Ebron, but if you keep that in the back of your mind and you get to the back half of your draft and you still don't have a tight end, that's who you're targeting.
See, it's interesting though, because we do a lot of analyst drafts now, and every fantasy analyst, probably you might be the lowest on of people I know. They take him in the top 8 to 12.
Yeah.
I'll say 10 on average. Just looking at average opposition, Adam, I'm sorry to bring it up.
That's
but
okay.
He's the 14th tight end off the board. And so
behind OJ Howard. Right?
Behind OJ Howard. You know, so you're again, that could be factoring in dynasty leagues too. So it's hard to say exactly where it's at, but his average draft position is 161 overall. Now, the public is clearly tired of Eric Ebron, understandably so. We've talked about him since his rookie season that this is going to be the next great fantasy tight end, and he's been a bust every year of his career. Now, last year, you know, got off to the slow start with the ankle injury, but this is the time, and so opportunity is there. Well, money's on the line. Talent should be there. I mean, he was top 15 overall pick.
Yeah, I think he was like 11th.
The opportunity has not been there.
So the opportunity is there now. The opportunity is there now.
It is now, yeah, and I think that's what other analysts are seeing, is that they're expecting him to get over 100 targets, and he catches a ton of his targets last year, almost a 72% catch rate, not a lot of yards per catch, and not a lot of work in the red zone.
Well,
and those looks in the red zone have to, if you're drafting him, you have to assume that he will be the guy replacing Anquan down there. Defenses will know it too. I'm not sure if that's going to happen.
Those 85 targets were in 13 games. His 16 game pace was 104. You give him 105 targets, he's
going to catch 70 passes.
He's probably Zach Ertz.
That's 770 yards. It'll come down to touchdowns. And
yeah.
That's where he's been a weak his entire career.
All right, that's Eric Ebron we're talking about. Jack Doyle, Jamie, I know you like getting targeting that Colts tight end, Jack Doyle, with a big opportunity this year.
It's been, what, 4 years now? You know, factoring in the Andrew Luck injury 2 years ago, but every time Dwayne Allen's been out, the second guy has done phenomenal things, and Jack Doyle did that last year. There was two games where Allen missed. There was the beginning of that was he got hurt. I think it was a game against Houston. And in that three-game stretch, Jack Doyle's numbers were off charts. I could look up for you if you really want me to. But
no, it's okay.
It's just kind of the same mantra. And so Andrew Luck is a tight end guy. He loves, you know, targeting his tight ends in the red zone. And so, you know, maybe it's Eric Swope. I don't know. I would anticipate it being Jack Doyle based on the investment they made in him. He's going to be on the field a lot, especially if they're going to, you know, use Kamar Aiken and go in these three wide receiver sets. So it should just be him. And I think the sky's the limit for him. He's one of my favorite breakout candidates this year.
All right. Jack Doyle. Also, some members, Delanie Walker, Martellus Bennett, and Jack Doyle in the start-worthy group. That got us to 12 tight ends. And then the speculative group, rounds 12+, Austin Hooper, Eric Ebron, Julius Thomas, Jesse James and Kobe Fleener, Hooper, Ebron, Julius Thomas, Jesse James and Kobe Fleener. Who has the most upside in that group? Is it Ebron?
By far.
Easily.
Dave, you agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like Hooper just because of the week one matchup.
Sounds good. Who's the week one matchup for Hooper?
Chicago.
And you like Jesse
Ebron's
James.
Ebron's got Arizona week one.
Okay. Good stuff, guys. And we'll, of course, talk more about tight ends in a couple weeks when we do our position previews. You can always send your questions at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. What you really need to do, though, especially if you're a league manager, is get yourself to Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings understands that being a fantasy football league manager is a tough job. It's important to get a good first impression. That all starts with the draft. And if you want your league to love you, book your draft party at B-Dubs. You're going to get a free draft kit and enjoy a special draft feast of boneless wings, three sides, and three shareables for a special price to feed your league. Come in and get to drafting up some league manager love at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports at participating locations while supplies last. News and notes, and then we'll go over the 10-team league draft that we did. Greg Olsen reported to training camp. He will not hold out. Sammy Coates had a knee scope last week. He'll miss a few weeks of training camp. Does that matter? Sammy Coates.
Might matter for his chances of making the roster, right?
I hate to see a guy have surgery, but can they fix his hands?
Ouch.
Yeah. Mike Pouncey has been cleared for training camp. That's always good, always important. Some more offensive line notes. Brandon Linder of the Jaguars. 5-year contract extension, according to NFL.com. Brandon Linder is now the highest paid center in NFL history. Heath, where did Brandon Linder go to college?
Brandon Linder went to FIU.
Mm, close. Same area code.
Okay.
Yeah. Dallas signed, I'll let the listeners figure it out. Dallas signed Lael Collins, who's now moving to right tackle, to a 2-year contract extension. Andrew Luck is on the pup list, and now rookie defensive back Malik Hooker, their first round pick, is on the pup list. He tweaked his hamstring, so bad start for the Colts. And, you know, actually, we had a pretty interesting article on CBSSports.com about Andrew Luck, and it was almost like, this is pretty concerning that he's not throwing yet, that the Colts are making it out to be like there's nothing wrong, but...
I thought he was throwing, just not practicing.
He just started throwing, I believe.
Okay, so he is throwing now, though.
What he's throwing and who he's throwing to,
I believe he's throwing footballs, but not at practice. So where would you rather him throw footballs than practice?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I wonder if a dunk tank is involved.
I didn't get to dunk anyone. So frustrating. Darn kids. Anyway, Tim Twentyman of DetroitLions.com expects Theo Riddick to be more involved in the red zone this year as a receiver, right?
He's been doing that already.
Do you care about this?
No.
No one is excited to draft Theo Riddick.
Well, Jamie did. I will ask him about that in just a moment. Email of the day number 2 is from Matt from the UK. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Matt says, "Dear Zach, AC, Screech, and Mr. Belding, love the new theme tune." More on that in a minute. "Was singing it all day. Got me thinking, if Adam, Jamie, Dave, and Heath were characters in Saved by the Bell, who would they be? There's only one answer for who would be Screech, right, Adam?" Okay, fine. I'll be Screech. That's fine.
Yeah,
Jamie is Zach Morris, closest hair. Also, I think Jamie was pretty popular. It's my take.
This is where you get into trouble, though.
Why?
You got to choose AC and Mr. Belding.
No. I was the fat nerd. That's me. You know, I think his name is Alan.
See, I would say you're Mr. Belding and you're Slater.
Okay.
I was going to say
you're
that,
more
too.
Athletic than I am. There's no doubt. Like, you can dunk a tennis ball.
I did one.
I can dunk a donut.
I was actually going to say that Dave is Screech, and I'm Jesse Spano, because I'm like the moral compass. But, you know.
I can't believe you said that out loud.
Hey, I had a real tough time with caffeine pills once upon a time. So the intro song is getting mixed reviews. Some people are saying, "Hey, send me the link." Some people are saying, "Hey, don't ever play that again." I'll be receptive to what's out there. I will listen to the listeners. Maybe it'll be just like a Friday treat. I don't know. As you can see, I've already made it shorter. It wasn't going to be a minute every time. But I think the people that don't like it, it's possible that they just don't know the Saved by the Bell theme song. Like, they don't know what it is.
I think a lot of people.
That might not be it.
Some people said, "What is that audience song? What is that song?" That would be, you know, that.
Millennials.
Yeah. No, the millennials would know. Like, the people in their 40s and 50s might not know.
Adam, you're exactly way wrong. Adam, we're in our 40s. Sorry, Heath, I'm looping you in.
Early 40s.
We have one of our new video hosts. I'm going to butcher her last name, but her first name is Hannah.
Oh, stop, Chuck.
That's it.
Oh, stop, Chuck.
We were telling her that Dave and I once dressed up as Hans and Franz, and she didn't know who that was. and she was born in the 90s.
It's definitely the younger people that don't know who Saved by the Bell is.
You think so?
Yeah.
100%.
I think everybody who doesn't know that theme song should tweet Adam
their age.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I was going to say a photo of a mean clown, but
and
age
their age
is fine.
You could do both in the same tweet.
Yeah, you could.
Okay, moving on. Let's talk about the draft yesterday. 10-team standard scoring draft. How did things change with a 10-team league, guys? Were you focusing more on best player available or what? You tell me.
I was for sure. I mean, anybody that knows how I draft and when I tweeted out my team, you took Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, they
so
were
I
saying
took
that
Aaron Rodgers in the third round.
Right.
You know
yeah.
why? Because it's easier to
recover.
We use the term catch up.
Recover.
In a draft.
It means the same thing.
Okay. It's easier to do that in a 10-team draft. Fewer people drafting. Everybody's values gets pushed up. You want to have superstars on your team. That was my goal. It wasn't necessarily best player available as much as it was get as many difference makers as you could.
You know, the best thing about my nips, Adam, is that it doesn't matter how many teams are in your league. Just nips.
Right. Well, the guy on the cruise that wrote to us, he said that you can't even see your nips. You know, based on the surrounding
right.
environment.
Well, you don't want everybody else seeing your strategy.
Yeah, perfect. There you go. Have to obscure it. Okay, so we're not going to go. The draft will be posted on the website on CBS Sports.
It already is.
Okay, perfect. Just like Bobby Rainey, it already is. CBSSports.com/fantasy. And we won't go through everything, maybe a couple rounds, and then I have specific questions about your teams. But sure, why not? Let's look at the first few rounds. Only three running backs in the first round. And it doesn't really matter because the running backs flew off the board with the first five picks of the second round. Bell, David Johnson, Odell Beckham, Ezekiel Elliott. By the way, Dave had the fourth pick, Jamie the seventh, and Heath had the 10th pick. I had the ninth pick. I had the ninth pick. Heath had 10th, yeah. I don't really want to talk about my team, but Dave took Elliott, then Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, Mike Evans, Jordy Nelson, and T.Y. Hilton. So for whatever reason, the wide receivers went before the running backs. And then it was Devontae Freeman at the beginning of round two, LeSean McCoy, Jay Ajayi, Melvin Gordon. And I think what you see there is Jamie, Heath, and I had late picks, 7, 9, and 10. Jamie has Green and Gordon. I have Jordy and McCoy. Heath has Hilton and Freeman. So we all went running back, wide receiver in some order. Wide receiver, running back. First five picks of round two were Freeman, McCoy, Ajayi, Gordon, and DeMarco Murray. Dez Bryant, Michael Thomas. And then Leonard Fournette ahead of Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard fell a little bit, maybe. 19th overall. Is that falling for Howard?
That's about where I've got him.
It's a little bit, you know, I mean, you're splitting hairs, but as you'll probably see with a lot of our mock drafts on the site, especially the ones that include Nick Costas, he's a big, big Leonard Fournette fan, so that's the guy he was going to take.
Nick is bold enough at times to take Leonard Fournette in the first round. He
only did that one time.
All right, well, that time.
We shamed him out of it.
I think he might be ahead of the curve on this. I think in 4 weeks, people might be taking Fournette in the first round.
They might.
So I won't shame him too much. But after Fournette and Howard, it was Rob Gronkowski with the last pick of round two. And I'll just be honest, like I went through the draft. When I'm drafting, I don't always have a great feel for, you know, whatever other people were doing. I'm kind of focused on my team. But I looked through the draft and at least early, it was fairly standard. I thought anyway. Did you guys feel the same way? Like, you know, it's kind of what we normally see in our drafts.
I think one thing, you know, and this probably speaks to the size of the league. So it's a three receiver league, no flex. And George Maselli, who's a very knowledgeable fantasy player, he's one of our editors here at CBS Sports. He went running back, running back, running back with David Johnson, Jordan Howard, and Todd Gurley with his first three picks.
Why?
Did he know that there was no flex?
There was a little confusion over the positional requirements at the beginning of the draft.
I mean, if you start a flex and you start with those three guys, it's pretty dang good.
Sure.
But, even in a 10 team.
You still have to start three receivers, though.
I like the one receiver with my first four.
Yeah, I don't like your receiving core at all, but as a whole. But I don't really like George's either.
Well, I was going to – okay. All right, so let's get into your teams. And I did neglect to mention it was a three-receiver league with no running back – no flex. So that's probably why those receivers in the first round went ahead of the running backs that went in the second round. So, Dave, we'll start with your team. And talking about, you know, trying to get difference makers, trying to get studs, your first three picks were Ezekiel Elliott, Michael Thomas, and Isaiah Crowell. Then you took Jordan Reed. Can you walk me through why you took Jordan Reed in round four?
I took Jordan Reed in round four, hoping that Drew Brees would make it back to me in round five, with the backup plan being a receiver in case Brees didn't make it back. But I'm confident that I can find receivers that I like in rounds five, six, seven, eight, whenever, especially in a league this small. And so I already felt lucky enough to have Michael Thomas on my team. He was the last great receiver available from the big nine that we always talk about. I got him in round two. I knew when I took Crowell in round three, I didn't love any of the receivers left. I knew that I'd be short at wide receiver, but I also felt good about the receivers who I'm targeting in that rounds five through seven range. And so I just knew that I could get a difference maker at tight end, a stud quarterback on my team, and I felt like I could make up the difference with receivers later on.
Well, okay, we'll take a look at your team and see if you like the receivers that you have enough. But I guess what I was looking at when you took Jordan Reed, I was wondering if, you know, the five or six receivers that came off the board in the previous like seven or eight picks were Robinson, Watkins, Pryor, Jeffrey, Demaryius Thomas, and Davante Adams. Adams being the pick right before you took Jordan Reed. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to be the end of a wide receiver tier, because after that, in the standard scoring league, it's Ingram, Golden Tate, Brandon Cooks, Crabtree, Keenan Allen. So is that why you took Jordan Reed? Like, would you have taken Demaryius Thomas?
Yeah, sure, that played into it too. Yeah. The fact that there wasn't a receiver there that I thought was the type of number two wideout that I'd want on my team.
But don't you like Cooks?
I'm okay with Cooks. I don't love him. And I thought there was a chance that maybe Breeze would go in between my picks in round four and five, and then Brandon Cooks would fall to me in round five. I would have taken him there. But he went right before I went, and Breeze was who I was targeting anyway.
Right. So in a three-receiver league, you have one receiver after five picks. You have Drew Breeze at quarterback. Sorry.
Right. No, I feel like my team is loaded otherwise.
Crowell and Ezekiel Elliott and Isaiah Crowell, Drew Brees, Jordan Reed, and that one receiver, Michael Thomas. Mm-hmm. So your other receivers in a standard scoring league are Tyreek Hill, Larry Fitzgerald, Breshad Perriman, and Cameron Meredith. And
the Meredith pick. That was a good one.
Thanks.
Yeah. So again, it's Michael Thomas, Larry Fitzgerald, Tyreek Hill, Breshad Perriman, and Cameron Meredith. Your running backs are Crowell and Elliott, or Elliott and Crowell. And then Carlos Hyde, Rob Kelly, and Samaje Perine. You have Drew Brees and Jordan Reed. So obviously, wide receiver's your weakest spot. Are you okay with the way this team turned out?
Maybe the Crowell pick could have been swapped for somebody else. I could have gone with
Baldwin.
The receiver there.
Yeah, that's what
maybe
I was
going
to say. Maybe
Baldwin. Baldwin might have been. Was he available?
Yep.
Could have gone with Baldwin there. And then if I did that, then the Hyde pick makes more sense. I could have slugged him into my RB2 spot. Could have always taken another running back around when I took Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah, sure. I understand that I'm playing with fire with my receivers in this draft, but I did it at the cost of being loaded and comfortable at every other spot. After what I saw last year with receivers and the lack of a difference between that number 13 guy and that number 36 guy, I don't mind. I don't mind waiting a little bit on receiver as long as I've got one stud. I think if I hadn't have gotten Thomas, like say I take Gronk there, then the focus on receivers would have drastically changed.
All right. Heath, you had the 10th pick and you went, actually, that makes no sense. Let's go to Jamie since he had the 7th pick. Sorry, Heath. You okay over there?
No, I don't think I need to talk about this at all.
His team speaks for itself.
You did take Aaron Rodgers in round three, Jamie.
Yes.
And then you took Jamison Crowder later on. That was round six. Mm-hmm. The next pick was Andrew Luck. In hindsight, which combo would you have preferred? Aaron Rodgers and Jamison Crowder, which you have, or Andrew Luck and Sammy Watkins?
I probably would prefer them equally. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I don't have a problem either way.
Okay. Then I'll make Dave and Jamie pick. Which combo do you – or Dave and Heath. Sorry, Heath, you really are.
Heath's not here.
You really are part of this. Rogers and Crowder? Rogers and Crowder or Luck and Watkins?
Can you tell me that Andrew Luck is practicing next week?
I'm telling you that.
Sammy Watkins.
I'm telling you we drafted.
Sammy Watkins is practicing all season.
I'm telling you we drafted yesterday. You'll take Rogers
and Crowder. In a 10-team league, I'd probably take Luck and Watkins, but it's really close. And that's probably just because I don't like Crowder quite as much as Jamie does, although I like him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the light on Crowder, and I think he's got a shot at a very nice year, certainly topping what he did last year. And so I'll take that guy who I think is a safer bet to play 16 games than Sammy Watkins, at least. Obviously, if Watkins plays 16 games, his numbers should blow Crowder's out of the water. But Luck, we don't know where he's at with his arm. It's starting to feel like it's going to be one of those years in Indianapolis. I hope it's not, because that's a team that's always fun to watch, and it's a team that's big for fantasy football. But Rodgers is just safer. And again, it's a 10-team league.
I'll tell you one thing that went into my thought process was I looked at the receivers that were available. And it was, I'm trying to think how I have it ranked just looking at it in front of me, but it was Watkins, Adams, Thomas, Pryor, some order of those four.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I was going to take one of them with Rodgers in the fourth round, where I took Joe Mixon. And then I just started thinking, okay, it's 10-team league. I don't really expect any of these running backs to get back to me that I like at that, you know, who would have been available to me around five. And I just said, I'm going to take Mixon, who I like a lot.
Cool.
So I just kind of went away from what my plan had been.
And then my second question for you, and then we'll review your team, is you drafted both, well, you did draft Amir Abdullah, so keep that in mind. You drafted also Theo Riddick and Danny Woodhead. Why did you take those PPR specialists in a standard scoring 10-team league?
Well, I think it's also where I took them. It's not like I took Woodhead early. It was around 9.
Mm-hmm.
And this was after the Dixon initial news of him being out at least another 2 to 4 games on top of the suspension. I went with the Woodhead pick, like I said, with the idea of trying to get Woodhead and West. Heath foiled me in that regard. And I took Riddick in round
7.
No, 6.
Oh, sorry. Abdullah. Wait.
I took Riddick in round 13.
Okay, he took Abdullah in round 7. I'm an idiot.
Right, and I thought at that point I was just looking at, let me just get what I would consider to be a handcuff at that point.
Yeah, sorry, round 13 is a great value for Riddick. I don't care if it's point per
right.
Well, if it's point per rush attempt, maybe.
Did you pump your fists when you drafted Riddick in round 13?
No, but at that point I had my receiving core of A.J. Green, Michael Crabtree, I forget who the third guy was. No, James Crowder. John Brown and Devontae Parker. I'll take that 5 in any 3-receiver league.
We need to make a trade.
And so I was just looking at what the best backfield options were, and in the 13th round, it was Theo Riddick.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. Melvin Gordon, Joe Mixon at running back, on the bench at running back. Riddick, Jeremy Hill, Amir Abdullah, and Danny Woodhead. So I guess I should read them in better order. Abdullah, Jeremy Hill, Woodhead, and Riddick behind Melvin Gordon and Joe Mixon. Your wide receivers are A.J. Green, Michael Crabtree, Jamison Crowder, Devontae Parker, and John Brown. I would take those 5 wide receivers in any 3-receiver league.
That's a very strong statement by you.
Yeah, thank you. I heard it somewhere once. Hunter Henry was your tight end.
And I was the last one to take a tight end after somebody actually took 2. Matthew Coca drafted Martellus Bennett, I believe, along with Travis Kelce. So yeah, I love the way that worked out.
And then you have Will Lutz, psh, and the Vikings. All right, you like your team?
I do. And just with the Riddick selection, if we get a better idea of the number 2 running back in Los Angeles for the Chargers, that's probably the guy I would take in that spot too.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
It's Brandon Oliver. That's probably the guy I think it's going to be. That's probably the spot it will go.
Aaron Rodgers, Melvin Gordon, Joe Mixon, A.J. Green, Michael Crabtree, Jamison Crowder, Hunter Henry. Those are your main starters, and we like it. And Heath, we already talked about your team, Heath. Let's go on to something else.
Sounds good.
Okay, now Heath had the 10th pick, and Heath, Okay, so you don't have, unless very possible Russell Wilson could have a huge year and be an elite quarterback.
Don't qualify your question. Just come at me.
You don't have an elite quarterback or tight end. What?
Russell Wilson's an elite quarterback.
Okay. So I'm just saying, like, they have – you didn't take that 10-team approach where you're going to get, like, a top-five quarterback and a top-five tight end.
I do have a top-five quarterback in my mind.
Do you have him ranked that way?
Yes.
All right. I didn't realize that. I'm sorry. So you have Russell Wilson. You have him ranked ahead of Matt Ryan?
And I've got a top-six tight end.
Who's your tight end?
Kyle Rudolph.
Okay. All right, but you don't have, like, a total stud here. I mean, you don't have Kelce and Rodgers. Talk to me about your team, Heath. You look great today. Love your shirt.
Really appreciate it. No, I don't stand out at quarterback or tight end. This team stands out at wide receiver. And it's a little boom or busty, but there's so much boom potential available.
Yeah, all right, let's take a look at Heath's amazing team and a great guy at that. Russell Wilson with Matthew Stafford on the bench, Devontae Freeman, Ty Montgomery, Kenneth Dixon, and Terrence West. We already talked about that. That was before.
And Matt Forte.
I was getting there. So Sammy Watkins, T.Y. Hilton, or T.Y. Hilton, Sammy Watkins, Allen Robinson. Ooh, and you took Watkins and Robinson back-to-back in rounds 3 and 4. So Hilton, Watkins, Robinson, Mike Wallace, that was a wasted pick, and Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen was your fourth receiver. That's a really good fourth receiver.
It's funny because, you know, since we were close in picks, I was curious because I knew how much you like Keenan Allen, and I looked at your team right before you made the pick that you had three receivers already. Uh-huh. And so I was curious to see if you were going to take Allen as the fourth guy there, because at the time, you obviously took Ty Montgomery. You only had Devontae Freeman.
Right.
So I didn't know if you were going to go back to back running backs at that spot.
Yeah, I multiple times was thinking I'm going to take a running back, and then three running backs would get taken in 6 picks that were the only three guys I wanted to take. And
right.
So I just, you know, nips, didn't force it, took the players.
But the one guy I was surprised on, because I know you're still a Carlos Hyde believer.
Yes.
Was that you didn't go like Hyde Montgomery either.
This was like pretty shortly after the Carlos Hyde might get cut news.
Uh-huh.
I might have been a little shaken. By is Carlos Hyde have a football team?
You have to remember that if Carlos Hyde gets cut, he should end up somewhere else.
He should end up
we don't know what that role
Baltimore.
Would be.
In theory, it would not be a worse situation than one of the worst offensive lines with no quarterback and no other good offensive weapons. Mm-hmm. But he could also end up in a timeshare. Like, that's the thing if you're Carlos Hyde.
He might
Hyde,
end up in a timeshare anyway.
And the 49ers are like, we might cut you. And Carlos Hyde's like, ooh, I can't get a worse situation. But no, I might have taken Carlos Hyde. I definitely would have if this draft would have taken place the day before the news. And okay. I might in a couple of days.
All right, so this is Heath's team. Russell Wilson, Devontae Freeman, and Ty Montgomery. T.Y. Hilton, Sammy Watkins, Allen Robinson, and Kyle Rudolph. Seahawks, DST, Justin Tucker. You did stand out in DST and kicker. That's nice.
Yeah, I went out on a ledge and jumped. Both.
Wow, you took the first kicker.
Took the first kicker. Well, I had the last pick in the draft, and I thought, you know, I can wait until the very last pick and get the last pick at kicker, or I can have the best kicker. So I took the best kicker.
Well, you sort of did not stay true to yourself there with taking the first kicker instead of the last
one. And then I got Matthew Stafford with the very last pick of the draft. So
beautiful.
It worked out okay.
And Keenan Allen's on your bench. Kenneth Dixon's on your bench. You have a lot of Ravens. You have Dixon, Terrence West, and Mike Wallace.
And Justin Tucker.
Wow. Big year for the Ravens for Heath. All right, guys. Any final thoughts or you want to read some emails?
I say we go right to the emails, unless you want to quiz me on the alphabet again.
Did we ever talk about Adam's team?
No.
Oh, why did we forget about Adam's team?
You know, I wasn't really into it.
Wait a minute.
So Adam at 9th overall started with Jordy Nelson. No surprise there.
No surprise.
LeSean McCoy in round 2. That's kind of a steal.
Yeah.
I love my team. It's a great team. I didn't want to embarrass you guys since you're the analysts.
It was a good start. I think it might have gone downhill from there.
Brady in round 3?
Yeah,
that's downhill.
Went downhill.
Yeah.
I'm elite everywhere. I'm nothing but elite.
29.
Terrell Pryor, round 4.
I like your team.
It's great.
Even with Bilal Powell.
It's round 5, Jimmy Graham.
It's one of the best teams I've ever drafted.
Round 6, Martavis Bryant. So you have Jordy. Who's your second?
Pryor.
Charles Pryor.
Jordy Pryor and Bryant. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With McCoy and Brady and Graham. You're pretty elite everywhere so far.
Except number two running back, Bilal Powell, yeah. LeGarrette Blount, Jamal Williams.
So now it looks like you started collecting running backs in round seven with Bilal Powell and Doug Martin. That's a pretty good turn.
Yeah.
So that's a good combo there. Round nine, take another running back, LeGarrette Blount. Could be the starter in Philly. Nothing wrong with that.
Like I said,
probably had the news come out yesterday. You probably would have taken Terrence West over LeGarrette Blount.
You know, the thing that Dave kind of mentioned it earlier. Here's the thing with Terrence West. He's not really that good, or he hasn't
been.
Yeah,
but LeGarrette Blount's old and slow, so it's kind of the same thing.
Blount's not that good either.
I loved your pick in round 10, Joe Williams.
Yeah,
because if Carlos Hyde is cut, that's the guy that would probably benefit the most.
Yeah, I wasn't happy with that pick.
And then round 11, you took Eric Decker, good fourth receiver. Can't argue about that. Jonathan Williams, you handcuffed LeSean McCoy. That was a great selection by you.
Yeah, and Jonathan Williams, right.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I said, Jonathan Williams. Never mind. I'm just kidding.
And then one of your favorite late round flyers and J.J. Nelson.
J.J. Nelson.
Giants defense. There's no surprise with that.
Terrific team. Very, very excited. Good. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, it really came together nicely.
Yeah.
We should have come up with some questions beforehand to ask you about your team. So, Adam, your number one receiver is kind of a low-end number one, and your number two is kind of a low-end number two, and your number three is kind of a low-end number three. Do you think you'll be okay at receiver?
Well, my number one receiver is consistently the number one receiver when he and his quarterback Aaron Rodgers are healthy. My number two receiver, Terrell Pryor, I don't know, not in love with it, but it's good enough. And Martavis Bryant will be the biggest draft riser and probably going to finish in the top 12 this year, so I'm just quite fine with it.
You should have taken Ben Roethlisberger then.
Of course, I said that about Michael Floyd last year, so, you know.
It's a very
that.
Good team.
Thank you. All right, emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. From Anonymous, others in my league listen to this. Ha ha. First time doing a Dynasty League. I don't think I did. PodcastAwards.com, everybody. Please, please, PodcastAwards.com, nominate us. First time doing a Dynasty League. When is best to target your franchise quarterback in Dynasty? What round do you typically target a backup quarterback?
It's sooner than normal. Sooner than your standard league.
Yes.
Keith has this weird look on his face as he's massaging his forehead.
Yeah, why is he doing that?
It's like you're smooshing the top half of your face together.
Yeah, I was just trying to
Are
relax,
you okay?
Dave.
You all right?
I was relaxed for just a moment, but now...
You have a headache?
Everybody knows.
Tylenol?
So it's kind of weird. Yes, you do want to take a quarterback a little bit earlier in this format. I would like to get one in the first six or seven rounds, I'd say. And I wouldn't be opposed to taking three quarterbacks in Dynasty, whereas normally you're maybe not even taking two.
With one of the younger guys?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. When are we allowed to make moves in our Dynasty League, by the way?
We're approaching that date. I believe August 1st was the plan.
Cool.
Ooh,
fun. There's somebody out there that you can't wait to add?
No, I was just curious.
Are you looking forward, Adam, to getting all the
no,
emails?
No, I was about to say, can you take me off the damn emails,
nope.
please?
Nope.
That is ridiculous. I honestly, that's fine. You leave me on there. I am going to send so many messages to that league. Like, that is not
oh, so
a bluff.
You're just going to be a jerk
yes.
about it.
Yes. Yes. Take me
you
off
You could
the...
just as easily set something up in your inbox.
You know, what's our record in baseball?
26-1? No,
we can share this team.
27-1.
I mean, we have pretty good success rate as partners.
You don't want to share a team with me.
No, I don't. But, I mean, we do have a good success rate, though.
We do. We do. As baseball partners. I don't know about football.
Yes.
All right, longtime listener Mike from Hawaii says, "Hey, Cooper, Truman, Hawk, and B.O.B. If I could ask a personal question, sorry, real quick, Jamie, how excited are you to blow your nose in like 3 minutes when we're done with the show?"
beyond excited.
Hey, Cooper, Truman, Hawk, and B.O.B. I don't know, A team.
That's so, what I thought.
It could be,
I don't
right?
know if that's right.
No. I don't think so.
I bet it's Twin Peaks. Yeah, it's Twin Peaks. Adam, did you know that Stranger Things is basically a ripoff of the much better series Twin Peaks? I have a theory that if you watch Twin Peaks, the original 90s series on Netflix, you and Heath will get along, even become friends. Why do I think that? I'll explain after you at least give it a few episodes. On to fantasy. In a 10-team half PPR league, drafting in the 9th spot, what are your thoughts on a strategy? Wide receiver. Well, anyway, tell me what you think of his team. It's basically like...
Here's the strategy. Oh, never mind that. Let's go right to the team.
This is why you need an acronym. If you could have just given us the acronym, it would have been easy
to
explain.
Wide receiver. It's basically like Forget it. Wide receiver, wide receiver.
It's zero RB.
Basically, yes.
And then after he goes two receivers, he tries to get two from Aaron Rodgers, Travis Kelce, Demaryius Thomas, and Brandon Cooks. It's a zero RB strategy.
Which we like, I think, in a 10-team league. Rodgers, sure. Rodgers,
I guess.
Gillislee and Perkins are his running backs. A.J. Green, Michael Thomas, Travis Kelce. So he has Rodgers and Kelce. He has A.J. Green and Michael Thomas. And then he has Macklin at his flex. Gillislee, Perkins, Blunt, Ingram, Rob Kelly, Terrence West.
That's perfect.
Very nice.
I think this is a brilliant year to go zero RB in a 10-team league.
Yep. I mean, your team, minus McCoy, is a good example of that.
Right. And it's a great team. Perry says, dear JJ, Joey, Danielle, and Khalil. I don't know.
Is it? Could that be defensive linemen? JJ Watt, Joey Bosa, Danielle Hunter, Khalil Mack.
Good. There you go.
Boom.
A while back, you discussed the concept of Team RB and correctly decided it was dumb. Isn't team defense kind of just as stupid? And can you do more IDP coverage this year? Yes,
I like
we can.
It. I like it. Yeah,
do yep. a little more. Why not?
We'll have our IDP mock drafts. 2 weeks, I think. So,
I do honestly prefer Team DST to IDP, though.
Well, you're playing in the IDP league again.
That's fine. I'll play in the IDP league. That was a big time IDP league. That's like, as Jamie called it last year, IDP on steroids. But I almost feel like, what's the point if you're only going to do like three IDP? Like, well, what's the point? I don't
know. Right, you got to go big. Or go home.
Or go home.
As they say.
Speaking of going home, I'm going home now. I'm home. But as far as this podcast is concerned, we're going home. We'll see you later. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you very much for listening.
Eastern. CBSSports.com.
Yep. Noon Eastern. Check out the live show. Bye.
Bye. Bye.